Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
If you have a Bible, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. That is where we will be. You're also welcome to use your smartphone. If that's the way you look up scriptures, our scripture will also be up on the screen. And I don't want to waste any time, so we're going to jump right in. And as a way of introduction, what I want to do is I want to start by looking at a graphic. It'll come up on the screen in just a second. But it's from a comic strip entitled Super Siblings. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a dialogue between a daughter and a father, all right? So that's what we're going to look at. So it'll come up on the screen. It says this. The daughter starts out by saying, "You are the bestest dad ever. I'm the luckiest girl in the world. Other fathers pale in comparison to your greatness. They are merely squires and peasant boys when compared to you. All hail King James." To which her father says, "Courtney, yes, father, it's still time to go to bed." "Tyrant, you're a tyrant, I say. Down with King James, off with his head. I may be a king, but you take the crown, drama queen." And I love the dad's response to his daughter there, right? The one minute she's praising him, giving all the praise. I like the squires and peasant boys comment. That's kind of fun. And then the next minute, she's just in a fit, right? And a great drama queen. And so here's what I want to start with. I'm curious, how many of you have ever dealt with a drama queen or king in your life? Anybody? Yeah, most of us, right? Drama just sometimes is in some people, isn't it? Like today's a holiday weekend, right? You know that after church, you're going to go to the family dinner and you know it's going to be a nightmare, right? It's going to happen, right? It's just in some people and we know that it is and we've all kind of been there. But here's the second part of the question. Have you ever been the drama king or drama queen in your life? Don't lie. Don't come on now. I know I'm not the only one in this place, right? I know I have been all too often the drama king in life. I, around the church office a couple of years ago, if you would have asked any of the staff members who breeds the most drama around the church office, that would have been Matt Poorman. That would have been me. And the reason for that is because back then I had a significant need to argue and to win arguments. I would fight you to the death. I would have the last word. I don't really care what the situation was. I was going to win the argument. I was remembering one time a few years ago having a conversation in the office about having colored lights at Aftershock as a part of our worship experience. It's before we got all the lights that we have now. A volunteer had donated the use of these lights and they weren't going to be around one weekend. And I started this dialogue and I said, I don't think that we can do Aftershock without colored lights, which is really stupid, by the way. Because we can have worship and we can get into the Bible and all kinds of stuff. So we ended this long dialogue. And then we ended up bringing in our worship leader into the conversation. Pastor Mark finally came into the conversation. It's never good when your boss enters that conversation. And so all because I wanted to stand my ground because we needed these colored lights at Aftershock as one of the worship. It was stupid. And it was all because I wanted to stand my ground. I have way too often in my life been the drama king. And so here's where we're going. And my thought for today is that even though in that comic strip, that was a conversation between a daughter and a father. And often when kids don't get their way, this is how they act, right? They throw fits. That's kind of a kid way of doing things. But my guess is for me as well, that we too often have a little bit of that in us, don't we? We all can be the drama king or the drama queen in life, can't we? Maybe some of us here today, like, we can do it a lot. But I don't know about you, but I, even though I am the one who often was bringing the drama around the office, I don't like drama. I really don't like it. I'm guessing you don't either. And what we're going to spend a significant amount of time on today is that God's not really into it either. Drama. Take a look at a couple of verses. Romans 12, 18. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Next one. Romans 14, 19. "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to," there it is again, that word, "peace," what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Next one, 2 Timothy 2:24. "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome." Philippians 2:14. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." That's a tough one. Do everything. Last one, Titus 3:1-3. Remind the people to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Drama, living our lives in constant drama, is not what God desires for us. It's not what he desires for us. But what he does desire from us and for us, and it's in all those verses, is peace. And not just a little bit of peace, but a whole bunch of peace. You know, there's a scripture in Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at it in just a second. But if you don't know that particular part of the scripture, kind of fill you in. What's going on? The disciples and Jesus, they're in a boat. And the disciples are starting to get a little uptight because there's a storm out on the water, and it's about ready to take over the boat. And they're getting real nervous. They're getting real uptight. And what's going on is there's some significant drama that begins to kind of brew up here. And we're going to take a look at it. And what I want you to see in this text is look and notice the peace that is in Jesus. Okay, it's Mark chapter 4, verse 37. It says, "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." Talk about some peace. "The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" So there's some drama starting to brew up. "Don't you care if we drown?" "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm." And so here's the big idea. The goal of the message today is this: to have more of that, more of what was in Jesus. I mean, he was sleeping in the stern of the boat during a massive storm. We can kind of picture that, right? The waves just kind of going, and he was sleeping. To have more of that in us on a daily basis to give us the ability to reduce the drama of life. I think that would be good, right? Especially since, right, this is Labor Day weekend, so summer is officially over, right? Schedules are getting more jam-packed. If you have kids, they're back in school. If you're a college student, classes have started. Guess what? Thanksgiving and Christmas are on their way. I know I just added panic to every woman here today going, Christmas, But fall is upon us, and wouldn't it be nice to make it through the next several months without drama or a whole lot less drama? Wouldn't that be nice? I am not sure I made it through one Christmas without drama. But wouldn't it be nice for this Christmas to not have drama? Well, I want you to hold that thought today. I want to look at a text that I think gives us some clues in how to do just that, to reduce life's drama. And so again, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. Just read a couple of verses. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this. It'll be up on the screen as well. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." And so the title of our talk this weekend is Relief, Reducing Life's Drama. And what I want to talk about is two things I see from the text that will allow us to do just that, to reduce life's drama and find relief. And not just a moment of relief, but a lifetime of relief. I think what we're going to see today and what we're going to talk about will give us some tools to have a lifetime of relief. And so that's where we're headed. So before we move on, I want to pause and pray, and then we'll give you a couple things to write down and think about. All right? So let me pray. God, we just thank you for an opportunity to come and to worship you in this place. God, many of us know that there are places around the world that a meeting like this would be really challenging to have. And so, God, it is a privilege to worship you in freedom in this place. And God, now as we turn our attention towards this particular scripture, I pray that you make our hearts, our souls, and our minds sticky, and supernatural things would stick to us, God. Make us more like Jesus, we pray, during this time. And not because of my efforts on this stage, but God, solely because of the power of the Spirit in this place. Do something great among us, supernatural among us, God, we pray. We want to honor you with our time, and so we give it to you, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we have 2 points today. You can write this first one down on your handout. Reducing life's drama takes significant selflessness. It takes significant selflessness. Back in the text, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I bolded in that text 3 words, serve humbly in love. And as I was studying this text and I was pondering it, those 3 words really stuck out to me in a big way. And what they say to me is this. They say to me that to do this life right, to not live a life full of drama, it takes specifically these 3 things. It takes service, it takes humility, it takes love, it takes selflessness. And even though we are free, the text says we are free to do many things in life, folks, we are called to do these things even more than that. To love, to serve, to be humble. Which, if you think about it, those 3 things have great capacity to reduce drama, don't they? I mean, it's pretty rare to have drama in life and find drama surrounding us if we're loving people well. It's hard and rare to find drama around us if we're serving others, giving up ourselves more often if we're serving them well. Attitudes like that and behaviors like that won't breed drama, but what they will bring up is great friendship, great harmony, great unity with each other. And I think it would honor God in a huge, huge way. So what I'm getting at here in this particular point is, I know oftentimes in the midst of a conflict, we want to point the finger. And again, not that some of those things are not accurate. But what I really want to get at here is that a drama-free life, folks, it starts here. It starts with me. It starts with us. It starts with us and how we specifically, in general, deal with people, but also in the midst of conflict, when we see a conflict brewing up. I found a quote this week. It'll come up on the screen. It's from Charles Dickens. It says, "A day wasted on others is not wasted on oneself." A day wasted on others is not wasted on oneself. And I think that this is exactly what we're talking about here. Serving others humbly in love all the time, and especially in the face of conflict, it will never go unused in keeping the level of drama down in our lives. It will never go unused. You know, there are many scriptures that tell us to do this. Some of you are probably familiar with. We're going to take a look at a couple of them. First one's Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Very next verse, verse 4. "Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." Next one, Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another daily." And then this last one, I love this last one, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "Make sure that nobody pays wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." I think what happens, at least it does in my life, we get so wrapped up in our feelings, our wants, our thoughts, our stuff. And again, not that all that stuff is bad, but we get wrapped up so often in all of that it just breeds conflict. It breeds drama. Whereas what we're talking about here today is creating an environment where the exact opposite happens every single time, because it's at the heart of God for us to serve and be humble and to love one another. It's at his heart because he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross to serve us, to love us. And Jesus became pretty darn humble to die for us. It's at the heart of God. Verse 16 of our text says that the flesh, what our sin nature wants and pushes us towards, and the spirit, they are in conflict with each other, so that, and it'll come up on the screen, so that we are not to do whatever we want. Folks, if you don't know this, this is a great spiritual truth today, that the world does not revolve around us. The flesh and the spirit, they are in conflict with each other, so we are not to do whatever we want. I told my 5-year-old daughter, Eden, not that long ago, I said, "Baby, I love you, but the world does not revolve around you." And I'm trying to teach her as a parent that the world needs way more selflessness, folks, than selfishness. It's at the heart of what God desires. You know, I mentioned earlier that I was the one in the office a few years ago that was bringing a whole lot of drama, and I was the drama king. And the reason for that, and again, not that I've gotten it all figured out and I'm perfect in any way, but at that time in my life, Matt Poirman was so more wrapped up in himself than anything else. I was so darn wrapped up in myself. And so it was easy for me to breed drama and bring conflict to the office. But over the last several years, I've tried to change. And I think that you would, if you asked many of the staff, they would tell you that there's a difference in me. I was actually thinking back to a conversation that Mark and I started over email. Pastor Mark and I started over email, I think now a couple summers ago. And what we started a conversation on was about the future direction and vision of student ministries, which me being the student pastor, I'm pretty passionate about students, pretty passionate guy anyway. And so we started this email dialogue, and it looked like from the initial dialogue that we weren't going to see eye to eye. We kind of had different viewpoints. And so instead of me being only concerned about my interest in the conversation, I sent back a humble reply to Mark and said, hey, here's my initial thoughts. I could be totally wrong here. Let's sit down over a cup of coffee and let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. And what I want to share with you is I want to share with you Mark's response to me. And it'll come up on the screen. Mark said this in an email back to me. He said, good thoughts, good dialogue. God will figure it out. Just an aside, you are so stinking mature now, Matt, which is kind of funny. Your response isn't aggressive at all like the guy I used to know. I love doing ministry with you, Mark. And now, again, not that I've totally figured this thing out and I get it right every time, but what changed in my response was a significant slice of selflessness to Mark. Humility, love, serving him as my leader. And he took notice. And over the last couple of years, people are starting to take more and more notice of, wow, there's a change in Matt. So I want you to write this statement on your handout. Finding relief from drama takes regular self-sacrifice. It takes regular self-sacrifice. Because how many of you know that my natural inclination would have been just to go, boom, hit the send button on the email, right? That's what I wanted to do. That's what my flesh wanted to do because I'm passionate about this stuff. But I paused and I said, no, I'm going to love and serve and be selfless in this moment. And guess what happened? God brought a crap ton of peace. That's a biblical word, by the way. He brought tons of peace. And man, that conversation went way better than it could have gone. A drama-free life, it starts with us. It starts with you and me. We've got to be humble, surrender our feelings, our wants, our thoughts. And so to close this point, I want to show you a quick video. It's actually of a movie trailer that I thought of this movie this week as I started to work on this message and was thinking about this idea of selflessness. And I think it depicts a really good idea of why it's a good idea to pursue significant selflessness in our lives. So take a look at this and then we'll continue.
Mary? Yeah.
You got three lemons.
Okay, well, what my baby wants, my baby gets.
No, but I wanted 12. Baby wanted 12.
Why do you want 12?
Because I'm making a 12-lemon centerpiece.
So no one's even going to eat the lemons? You're suggesting to me that these are just show lemons?
After 2 years together, Gary and Brooke have reached a critical point in their relationship.
Fine, I'll help you do the dishes.
No, that's not what I want.
You just said that you want me to help you do the dishes.
I want you to want to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do dishes?
I'm done.
What?
What happened?
We just broke up.
You can stay with me. You think I'm going to move out of the place and let her keep it?
I don't know. I'm not Columbo.
The only logical thing that I can think of is for her to move out of the condo and then to pay me some sort of a penalty.
What? Excuse me?
The battle is on, and their true feelings are coming out.
One thing is for sure is you're hurt.
I'm excited. I look at it like I'm on mancation.
I need to get somebody really hot. I'm like... I'm gonna make Gary jealous. I'm gonna be just a few more seconds, so just sit down.
And leave it on the field!
Do you mind if we finish the game? We got a real nail biter going here.
Sure.
Tell Gary to call me.
Vince Vaughn. Jennifer Aniston. The Breakup.
All right. Anybody seen that movie? Anybody seen that? Yeah, several of us. Okay. If you haven't seen the movie, again, it's The Breakup, Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston. And essentially what happened is Brooke and Gary's relationship came to a head in that movie because they were way more concerned about what they could get from the relationship rather than what they could give. It was pure selfishness rather than selflessness. And the entire movie, the entire 2 hours is showcasing the tremendous amount of drama that ensues as a result of that selflessness or that selfishness. And I use that to underscore the importance of selflessness. It is a major key to either fueling or reducing drama. We are selfish, we're going to fuel it. If we're selfless, we're going to reduce it. And I think most of us here today would say, yeah, it's probably better to reduce it, right? Reducing life's drama, it takes significant selflessness. So that's point number one. Point two, you can write this on your handout as well. Reducing life's drama takes substantial spirituality. It takes substantial spirituality. And what I mean by that, I see this in the text in verses 15 and 16. Starting in verse 15, it says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It's kind of a warning against drama. But it continues, and what we're going to focus on in this point, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so when I say reducing drama takes substantial spirituality, what I mean by that is that the more we learn about God, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we live our lives by the Spirit of God, the less drama that we will start, the less drama that we will be around, the less drama that we will see in our lives. And the reason for that is because the text says to us, it says, if we do that, we live by the Spirit of God, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We will not create or be a part of drama and conflict. And so essentially this point is this. We have to be willing to put forth a ton of effort in walking and living our lives by the Spirit of God if we ever want to have any chance at all to figure out reducing drama as a part of our life as a whole. We've got to put a whole lot of effort into living our lives by the Spirit of God. A couple of scriptures, Galatians 6:8. It says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. That's pretty clear. But on the other hand, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Good stuff. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Look at this, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then finally, James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. It takes substantial spirituality to get this stuff right. It really does. It's the thing that anchors us, keeps us from going into drama, going too far, as well as getting into places where drama will blow up in our faces. It's the thing that anchors us, our substantial spirituality. You know, as I was thinking about the idea of anchored, some of you may know this, others you probably don't, but I used to work at a summer camp, and I am a certified high ropes, low ropes, climbing tower facilitator. There'll be a couple of pictures that'll come up on the screen. So I used to build ropes courses and climbing towers, and I have the certifications to actually run people through those. And I started to think about this idea of being anchored because, you know, some of these ropes courses, climbing towers are 30, 40 feet in the air. You know, there's significant value, if you're a participant up on the ropes course, to be anchored in with a rope when you're 30 feet in the air. There's great value in that, right? Because if you're not tied in, right, and you take one little slip, right, you could fall, you could break some bones, you could get seriously injured, even the possibility of death. And so I was thinking about my experience in the ropes course, and I think that's what it's like for us if we are not anchored, folks, substantially every day, week to week, month to month, year to year in our spirituality. If we are not anchored substantially in our spirituality, it's like we're living our lives up on a 30-foot ropes course, not anchored in. And you know, there are days that maybe there's weeks where we can navigate the ropes course, we can go and we can come down and we are safe, but it only takes one little slip and we're going to be on the ground. It takes substantial spirituality to navigate this life well and to reduce drama. And this makes sense to me because, you know, like in point number one, if we are selfless, less selfish in our lives, you know, we're going to see less drama. And that kind of makes sense to us, right? When we're putting others first, we'll have less drama. But this point really makes sense to me as well, because we will see less drama when we are living our lives in what I would call through the lens of our spirituality. If we are funneling our entire lives through our spirituality and only living out that stuff, I think we will see less drama. I mean, how many of you know that when we are only doing the things that are on God's agenda for our lives, that drama can often be averted? Do you know that? When we are only doing what is on God's agenda for us, drama can be and will be averted. Now, that doesn't mean life is going to be easy, but it does happen. Drama can be averted. And so for me, that inspires me to keep trying more and more to live my life through the lens of my spirituality, through living my life closer to the Spirit of God. And I am not sure that I do it well enough. But here's what I do know. Even though I don't do it well enough, I do want more peace in my life. I want less drama in my life. And so it inspires me to keep trying to do this stuff. And so since that's true, and I'm sure it is for you as well, I want to quickly share today three specific ways I thought of this week that we could be able to maintain or increase the level of substantial spirituality that we put forth. And so these are going to be on your handout. These are three ways to do that, specifically three ways to include God more in our lives and gain substantial spirituality. The first one is include God daily. Include God daily. Read, worship, pray, fast. Folks, we have to be willing to have spiritual disciplines in our lives. And I specifically use that word disciplines, all right? We have to have discipline in, and when I say read there, we have to be disciplined in reading the Word of God. Folks, we have the Bible at our disposal, the Word of God. You know, I have a friend of mine who works in a ministry in China, and it is illegal to have a Bible. Folks, we have a Bible at our disposal that we can read every day. And if you're anything like me, I do not have a discipline well enough to read my Bible. And it is the Word of God, the breathing, living Word of the Father. And we have it at our disposal. We need to be disciplined in reading it. We need to be disciplined in worship. You know, when we get to heaven, it's the only thing that we're going to do is to worship the Father, right? And so it's pretty good to practice that now on this earth and to get used to doing that. Discipline in prayer, praying without ceasing. Maybe even discipline in trying something like fasting from food for a day, for a week, for 40 days. We have to have and be good at spiritual disciplines in our lives if we're going to have any chance of having substantial spirituality. Look at a couple of verses. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Says, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always, not just sometimes, but always. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. These disciplines will help us walk and live our lives way more by the Spirit. And what the text is suggesting to us then is if we walk by the Spirit, we will have an increase of substantial spirituality, a decrease of negativity, and a decrease of drama in our lives. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty darn good. And so I will just tell you here today, folks, if today is the only thing that you're going to do spiritually in the next 7 days, I am not sure that substantial spirituality will be in your life. It takes more than just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It takes disciplines in these things, reading, worship, praying, fasting. And so include God daily. Second thing, include God in relationships. Include God in relationships. And what I mean by that is pray with, pray in, pray for all of your relationships. Spouse, kids, coworkers, boss, friends, classmates. It's one of the best things that you can do to maintain health and peace in your relationship. And so if you've got, folks, that boss that you literally cannot stand, you can never have a really great conversation with that your boss, what I would tell you is, folks, pray for them. Pray for them. It's the best thing that you can do. Look at James 5:16. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so do it. Pray. Do it frequently because your prayers for your boss are powerful and effective. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that you can change the work environment, your marriage. You can change the relationship with your kids just by praying. Can you tell I'm a little passionate about that? I believe in it. I've seen it. So pray. Include God in your relationships. Last thing. I'm going to camp out here for a second. Pray before making decisions. Pray before making decisions. And this one in particular is kind of my takeaway for today. I am not very good at this one. I'm a quick decision maker. And so I know I need this one just as much as anybody else today. But what I want to get at here is before we make decisions, we should stop and we should include God, specifically the Holy Spirit, in the decision-making process. We should say, all right, God, what do you think about what I'm about ready to do? And ask him. And so before we make that Facebook post, we should pray. Let me say that again. Before we make that Facebook post, we should pray. Before we say what's going to come out of our mouth, we should pray. Before we go do what we're going to do, we should pray. Before we go buy that new truck because it's Labor Day sales this weekend, we should pray. We should pray and include do you know that God is the creator of the universe and he's way more wise than we are? I know, right? I know. And so we should seek supernatural spiritual counsel from God the creator. You know, as Pastor Mark and I were working on the message, we were talking about this concept, and he said, oh, there's a great story in Joshua chapter 9, and I would encourage you to read it on your own time this week, but I'll give you a little context of what's going on. In this story, the Israelites and Joshua are taking the land that God is giving them, essentially taking it by force and wiping out all the inhabitants that are there. And in this particular story, there's a group of people called the Gibeonites. And knowing that losing is inevitable because these people have the backing of God, the creator, right, on their side, they devise a plan to trick Joshua and the Israelites. They kind of dress up and say, hey, we're from out of town, and can you guys sign a peace treaty with us so that you don't kill us and all that kind of stuff. And what ends up happening is that the Israelites fall for this, end up making a treaty with these people. But why this is relevant for us today is in verse 14 of that text. It says in Joshua 9:14, it says, the Israelites did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. They did not inquire of the Lord. And what ends up happening is, you can read it on your own time, they have to now then try to figure out, what do we do with these people? Like, they're not part of us, and so they're not supposed to be in this land that's got to be, but now we have this treaty of peace with them, so now we got, it's got all really messy, all because they didn't ask God, say, hey, what do you think? It's important to include God before making decisions. James 1:5, it's a great verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should, look at this, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and the promise, it will be given to you. If we ask, it'll be given. You know, there's this saying, and maybe you've heard it before. I heard it a couple years ago, and it's tremendously helped my life. But the saying goes like this: have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? Have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? And I think what this one's all about, including God before making decisions. Don't just talk to your spouse. Don't just talk to your friends, your coworkers. And it's okay to talk to those people. God calls us to have counsel with people. But most importantly, and I would suggest to do this first, talk to God. He's pretty wise. When I was thinking about that, I had an image of Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory coming to my mind. Anybody watch The Big Bang Theory? Yeah, so, okay. And it was really weird because anytime you get an image of Sheldon, it's a little strange in your mind. But I thought of Sheldon because if you haven't seen the show, when Sheldon goes across the hall to his neighbor Penny's house, he does this. Penny, 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 three knocks, three times, every time. And I thought about Sheldon, and that came to my mind because, folks, we ought to be doing that same thing with God. God, what do you think? God, what do you think? God, what do you think? Especially if you go back to that verse, James 1:5, especially if we know that all we have to do and ask God and he will give us. Why in the world, why do we not ask God for wisdom in things, and we just go right into it? He's going to give it to us. We just got to pause and go, God, what do you think? I am confident if I would do that, if we would do that more often, folks, we would see drama surrounding us way less often. Way less often. I think that all three of these things, including God daily in our relationships and before making decisions, I think all three of those things will increase our substantial spirituality. And I don't even think that. I know that. It'll increase our substantial spirituality. And ultimately, it will help us live our lives through the lens of our spirituality. Live our lives only doing what's on God's agenda for us. And ultimately, as a result, we will see less drama. It'll happen. And so that's point number two. Reducing less drama takes a substantial spirituality. Why don't you stand? We're going to close. Couple opportunities for prayer today. As per usual, if you've got anything going on in your life, it could be emotional, relational, physical, financial, just come sit in the front row and let the prayer team pray for you. And I would just encourage you, if you've never on a weekend, you've been here for a long time, you've never come up and received prayer from our prayer team, but you have something going on in your life, please come forward and let them pray. There are changed lives that happen up here every single weekend. So don't discount somebody praying individually for your situation that you've got going on today. Okay? So if that applies, you just come sit in the front row and the prayer team will pray. Over here, I'm just going to pray a two-minute prayer over anybody who desires and wants to have the ability, like Jesus did in the boat with the disciples, to bring peace. And maybe it's a moment, maybe it's a conversation that you have to have today or this week, but even more than that, that you would be an agent of peace for a lifetime. I believe that a few years ago, God did something in my heart, in my soul, and healed me of some things that I have more often been the agent of peace. And I believe that if that's some of you in the room today, you need that. You need God to transform you from the inside out and give you that ability that was ever in Jesus in the boat can be in us. And I believe it can. And so if that applies to you, your job is to come stand up here, and I'm just going to pray 2 minutes over you, and then I'll release you at the end. You don't have to pray out loud or anything like that. Okay? So let me pause and pray, and then you will all be dismissed. God, we just ask that as we enter this prayer time, God, that you would speak to those in the room that need to receive prayer. God, if there's somebody who's got something going on that could benefit from individual prayer, or if they want to be more like Jesus and the agent of peace, and you know that they need that today, that you would speak to them and they would come forward. And God, that you would be in the prayer time with myself and the prayer team, that we would pray the things that you would pray, and that you would change lives today by the power of your Spirit. And God, for all of us now, I pray that you would go before us in all that we do and that we would live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you would bring us back together all next week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.